الله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. بعد. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Imagine being in a school where there are no rules and regulations. You can go to any class, any classroom, any grade. You can come in at any time. You can leave at any time. You can walk in any time. You can sit and talk with anyone you want. Anyone can do or say anything they want to anyone else. There's no homework. You can cheat on tests. And there are no consequences. And everyone still gets good grades and passes. Or you imagine a sports game or a league with no rules and regulations. No referees. Soccer players are running with the ball in their hands, pushing each other, knocking each other down like ice hockey. You know, hockey players surround the best players on the opposing team and hold them while the rest of the team goes and scores. Now, of course, when we think about these scenarios, it sounds a bit comical, and it is. But I think everyone can understand why it is necessary to have rules and regulations for a group of people to be able to function properly together. For people to be safe, to be able to live and function properly in a good way. Every school, every workplace, every sports league, every jurisdiction, whether it's a city or a province or a country, has rules and laws. The International Football Association Board, which includes FIFA, has a rule book called The Laws of the Game. And they've actually published it, they revise it every year. And for 2022, 2023, it's over 150 pages of rules. What is it? Over 150 pages of rules to govern the playing of football or soccer. So why would there not be rules and laws for those who live upon the earth? The rules and laws are made by those who are in charge, so just like the international body for football. And there is no one in charge of the entire earth except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, Allah Almighty has the ultimate authority to create laws and rules to govern life on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us himself, Surah Al-Mu'minun, ayah number 116, فتعالى الله الملك الحق لا إله إلا هو رب العرش الكريم. Exalted is Allah, the true King, ملك الحق. There is no God, meaning worthy of worship except Him, the Lord of the Honorable Throne. My friends, my brothers and sisters, I was once at a church for a presentation about Islam, and afterwards there was a Q&A, and There was a nice lady who raised her hand, and she politely said, you know, thank you for the wonderful presentation and so on. But I have a question, and that is, why are there so many rules? Like, it seems really complicated. Like, there's so many things, you know, you have to believe in and you got to do and things you can't do. Whereas, you know, as a Christian, she was speaking for herself, you know, I just need to have a good heart and that's good enough. And this is a question that I think some Muslims also wonder about as well. And sometimes they get the impression that, you know, everything is haram. Where obviously that's not the case, but they feel like, you know, why is everything haram? Or why are there so many rules? Why are there so many things that, you know, I can't do or things that I have to do? And actually the reality is that if you compare Islamic laws and guidelines to those who have no faith, or, you know, or those who follow a religion with very few guidelines or fewer guidelines, yes, it may seem like there are, you know, many rules to follow. But if you compare Islamic rules and guidelines to those who follow religions or religions with more guidelines, then it may actually seem like the guidelines are quite reasonable. You know, I was across the border in Ogdensburg not too long ago and happened to pop into one of the stores. And, you know, I saw a family that was running and they were dressed differently. And I'm like, hey, that looks a little bit familiar, right? But they were actually Amish. And you go outside and there's a horse buggy that's parked outside the Walmart. You know, so there's actually parking for horses. What is there? There's parking spots for horse carriages because they don't use automobiles. They don't. That goes against their beliefs. They don't believe in using motors and machinery. So they travel on horses. And if you drive upstate New York, you drive on the state route, you'll see, you know, families going in the horse carriages, right? So you compare to that, and you're like, oh, alhamdulillah, at least we're able to travel in the car. When you look at kosher laws, right, very similar principles to halal rules and regulations, but much more stricter, right? So then you say, okay, well, actually, maybe we don't have it that bad. So the question, my brothers and sisters, is subjective. We know that rules exist, or they're supposed to exist, for our benefit, for our safety, and our well-being. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our most merciful Rabb, our most merciful Lord. And He wants more benefit for us than anyone else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the best for us in every single way. And He sent us here as a test. And which teacher or examiner gives a test without telling you the rules and teaching the material for the test? Does anyone do that? That without telling you what a test is about, without telling you what subject, you know, you're going to be tested on, that just throws a test towards you, right? Puts you into a test. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants ease for us. And He is all-knowing and the most wise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us multiple places in the Qur'an that He wishes ease for us. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ He does not wish difficulty upon us. He wants easiness for us. He wants things to become easier for us. So He has given us detailed guidelines, warned us about the harms and dangers, told us what we need to do in order to succeed in this life and the hereafter, warned us against the things that we should be avoiding so that we can succeed in this world and in the hereafter. Thus we learn that the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rules and boundaries, are for our own benefit. If we follow the guidelines of Allah and those that He has sent to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we benefit and safeguard ourselves. We keep ourselves pure in this world and in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the instructions of tahara, of making wudu and purity in Surah Al-Ma'idah. In ayah number 6, and in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَجٍ وَلَكِنْ يُرِيدُ لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ It is not Allah's will to burden you. These rules and regulations, these instructions, these prescriptions, it is not Allah's will to burden you, but to purify you and complete His favor upon you. This is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So perhaps you will be grateful. So look at this. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expecting from us when we go through the guidelines that He has given us? When we follow the prescriptions, the obligations, and avoid the prohibitions, what does He want from us? He wants us to be grateful. Not to be annoyed, but rather be grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually made these things clear for us and has made things easy for us so that has spelled things out so that we are able to understand. And in this context, because it's about, you know, purity, physical purification being mentioned, but also spiritual as well, through these rules about wudu and about tahara, but all other rules and regulations as well. The objective is to purify us physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and make us those who are favored by Allah and who eventually are grateful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal details the rules of inheritance in the Quran. And in one of the places at the end of Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ أَن تَضِلُّوا وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah makes this clear to you, so you do not go astray. And Allah has perfect knowledge of all things. So if we disobey or ignore the rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we harm ourselves. It's as simple as that. In this worldly life and in the afterlife. So Allah, the Creator, has done us a great favor to tell us about the things that we should be careful about and the things that we need to do. Otherwise, we would get harmed in this world and get caught in the hereafter. Right? As I mentioned earlier, it's like someone who is like a person who is never told that there is a test or an exam coming up. They're not told what the test or the exam is going to be about, how to get ready for it, what they need to do in order to qualify for something. And then they fail. And then they're disqualified. Or someone, you know, who gets arrested without having any laws being made or anything being announced that they're doing something wrong. They don't know. There's nothing to that effect. And then they're caught. Is that fair? Of course not. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us the rules and warned us of the consequences is out of His mercy, His love, and His fairness towards us. If He wanted to, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, He could have left us in the dark. No guidance, no rules, no regulations. And then surprised us with the consequences and the punishment. He subhanahu wa ta'ala could do that if He wanted to, because we are nothing, we're just His creation. Compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're absolutely nothing. He can do whatever He wants with us, and you can't do anything about it. We see that, right? Natural disasters happen, tests come, things happen. People are helpless, except when Allah wills to help them. So if He wanted to, He could have left us without anything and then surprised us with consequences and punishment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like that. He is loving and He is kind. And from time to time, my friends, my brothers and sisters, science also tells us the benefits of divine commands. Every once in a while, we come across some news. But as believers, we do not need science to convince us that the teachings and guidelines of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam are correct and are the best for us. We don't need the reaffirmation. We don't need, or we shouldn't need, science to tell us, and then we say, okay, yeah, now we feel a little bit better about believing in this. Right? Because as believers, we know that the divine knowledge that was sent to the prophets alayhimu salatu wassalam is the ultimate knowledge. Why is it the ultimate knowledge? Because it is coming from the ultimate and most perfect source. It's knowledge, the revelation that is coming from the most perfect and ultimate source of knowledge, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas science, as great as it is, continues to evolve. One thing that is good one day can become bad the next day due to a new study or a new discovery. For example, there are new guidelines that were recently published by the Canadian Center of Substance Abuse and Addiction. Canadian Center of Substance Use and Addiction, sorry. And they are cautioning Canadians on how alcohol consumption can lead to serious health risks. Prior to the updated guidelines, right? So these guidelines were recently announced. So just before, you know, they were updated, it was considered safe for Canadian men to drink up to 15 standard alcoholic drinks per week. And it was said that it was safe for women to consume 10 standard alcoholic drinks per week. By the way, did you notice that there was a difference between men and women? Something to think about, perhaps. The new guidelines suggest that Canadians who consume 7 or more alcoholic drinks per week are considered high risk. So before, just last week or 2 weeks ago, until then, it was considered to be safe to have up to 15 drinks for men and 10 for women every week. Now, 7 or more drinks per week are considered high risk for serious health issues, including cancer, heart disease, stroke. And 1 to 2 drinks per week is considered low risk, while 3 to 6 drinks is labeled as moderate risk. I remember watching the news, and it said, no drinks, zero risk. They're talking about high, moderate, low. No drinks, no risk. SubhanAllah. Okay? The report also recommends changes on how alcohol is marketed, including adding a warning label that says that alcohol can cause cancer. And the researchers say that less than 50% of people know that alcohol causes cancer. And it does. They say clearly, alcohol causes cancer. The Canadian Cancer Society says the less alcohol you drink, the lower your cancer risk. And even moderate drinking is associated with increased cancer risk. Right? And this is all in addition to all the crashes and injuries and deaths caused by driving while intoxicated. People who know they're not supposed to be drinking after they have had alcohol or when they're intoxicated with drugs or whatever the case may be, but still they do, and they cause many, many crashes every single year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. You know, there's a group called Mothers Against Drunk Driving, MADD, M-A-D-D. Mothers Against Drunk Driving, relatives, especially mothers, of victims of crashes that were caused by drunk drivers. And there's, I love their slogan. It's very simple. No alcohol, no drugs, no victims. Huh? Six words. No alcohol, no drugs, no victims. This is not me. This is MADD Canada, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. So all of this begs the question, my brothers and sisters, what about all the people who thought it was safe to drink a certain amount of alcohol each week, and they were negatively affected already? They got cancer. They had a stroke. They had other illnesses. Who is responsible for that? For telling them that it was safe to do so? And this is just one example. So if we wait for studies to be completed for each aspect of divine law, for each aspect of the guidance of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it may be very well be too late for us to reverse the harms. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Surah Al-Jathiyah, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكَ عَلَى شَرِيعَةٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ فَاتَّبِعْهَا وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Now we have set you on the clear way of faith, or set you on an ordained way concerning the matter of religion. So follow it, right? And the word of Sharia is used in the verse. So follow it and do not follow the desires of those who do not know. Do not follow, وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Do not follow the desires of those who do not know, meaning who do not know the truth. They're ignorant of the truth. They don't realize that the truth is found here and that there is truth in the guidance of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do not follow them. Do not follow them, their desires, what they try to get you to do. Because they're not aware, they're ignorant. Right? So there will be people who will try to discourage us and distract us from following the clear path that has clear rules and regulations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are people who will put pressure on us. There are people who will try to convince us that it is good. They will try to convince us that it is attractive. They will try to convince us that it is enjoyable. Do not follow their way. Do not listen to them in these matters. They are just like someone who tells us to cheat on a test or to break the rules of the game. And then we are the ones who suffer the consequences. So to recap, my brothers and sisters, my friends, let us reaffirm our commitment to follow the rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To try our best to follow the commands of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, O believers, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Follow Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who have been given authority over you to manage your affairs. So we are to follow the commands of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not something which is optional for us. Yes, regarding the context and how to apply the guidance of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we consult with scholars. We consult with people who know, living in our context, on how to apply the guidelines of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we need to reaffirm our commitment to try our best to follow the guidance in the best way. Secondly, my brothers and sisters, let us value those rules and regulations and believe that they are good for us. don't feel that it is a burden. It is not a burden. It is a mercy upon you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is keeping you away and safe from trouble in this life and in the hereafter. So value it, cherish it, love it, and know that there is always wisdom in Allah's commands, even if we are not able to see it right away. There may be rules and regulations in other contexts, in other situations, like at school, like in sports, like in the workplace, or in the country. And we may not understand the reason for those laws, but we still follow them. Right? You're standing at a red light. No one's there. Most people will still stop. Does it make sense? No. Does it make sense to stop at an intersection when there's no other cars at 2 a.m. and you're the only one parked at a red light? Does it make sense? I don't think so. But you still do it. Right? Because you understand that the rules and regulations are there and there's a consequence. There may be a consequence if, you know, you got caught. So when it comes to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not always understand the wisdom. And in many cases, actually, we may not understand the wisdom because our understanding, our wisdom, of course, cannot reach the wisdom and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even when we are not able to see that wisdom, we still believe that there is wisdom in the guidance of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to guide us and strengthen us in following His teachings and His guidance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and strengthen us in following the way of His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah azza wa jal to forgive us for all of our shortcomings. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, we'll take a few moments to offer sunnah for those who would like to do so, and then we will continue.